This is Access Houston on 97.9 The Box.
That's right, and you are listening to Access Houston on 97.9 The Box. Good Sunday morning. In the studio with me, two lovely young ladies representing the Houston Food Bank. I have with me the Chief Communications Officer, Betsy.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. And I also have the Director of Outreach Services, Nicole. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. So you all are a part of the Houston Food Bank. For those who may not be familiar, or maybe they haven't even heard of the Houston Food Bank, can you tell us what it is and what you all offer?
We distribute a whole lot of food into the community. We serve 600 food pantries, soup kitchens, shelters in 18 counties in Southeast Texas.
Oh, wow.
And we've been in Houston for about 32 years, if my math is correct. Mm-hmm. Every year, we distribute millions, literally millions of pounds of food, which equate to, last year, 59 million nutritious meals. Mm. So lots of food goes into the community through the Houston Food Bank. We actually are the largest food bank in the country, both in square footage and in the amount of food that we distribute. Okay. So who would know that that's right here in Houston?
Yeah, because I certainly didn't.
Well, it's because we have so many generous people who support us, not just in giving us gifts of money, which we use to purchase food or acquire food, but also volunteers. We had last year 50,000 people.
50,000?
Volunteer.
Wow.
50. I know. When we got that number this year, we all kind of fainted in disbelief that so many different bodies had walked in and out of the building to help. So that's just a great sign about Houston and its generosity.
Absolutely. Nicole, how did you get involved with the Houston Food Bank?
So I'm fairly new to the Houston Food Bank. I've been with the food bank about 5 months. Mm-hmm. As a registered dietitian working in the community to support nutrition and health and wellness is my background. Okay. And that's how I found my way to the Houston Food Bank. So my primary focus is programs for children 18 and under and seniors 60 and up.
Okay.
So we provide meals to those students, whether they're hot meals or non-perishable meals to children over the weekend.
Absolutely. And so far, how has that experience been here in Houston?
Great, great. We've grown our programs. Our Kids Cafe program provides a hot meal to students in after-school programs and during the summer to children 18 and under. And this summer, we did over 3,300 meals a day. Hot food distributed out in our community to over 50 sites to children. So
that's right. Now that you mentioned that, it's all coming back to me now. This past summer, I was actually at a couple of the YMCAs or Boys and Girls Clubs here in Houston. And
yes,
we were distributing meals to the kids this past summer. So that was you all.
So you can see that, all those little faces that are wolfing down food because they need the food.
Yeah.
So many children, 1 in 4 kids in Southeast Texas lives in food insecurity. That means they live in a home that doesn't have consistent access to nutritious food, to sufficient nutritious food. So Nicole's programs are helping those kids who have problem concentrating or so many other issues that come up for children who deal with insufficient nutrition.
Yes, we're very proud. Another program we offer is our Backpack Buddy program, which works in conjunction with school districts to provide a non-perishable meal sack to children on Friday evenings of meals that will last them through the weekend. So we focus on 6 meals and snacks to kind of get them through that time period where they don't have access to the National School Lunch Program. Mm-hmm. And we know, like Betsy said, they're living in those food insecure homes, and we just want to give them something to help them make it through the weekend. We distribute over 30,000 of those bags each month.
Wow. That is incredible.
It's a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been throwing out a lot of numbers because that's kind of how we function is how do we measure what we're doing. But I think it all comes down to one little tummy that doesn't have enough food in it. And that one little tummy can hurt. It can keep a kid from being able to focus and concentrate.
Yes.
All of that. It's so interesting, that statistic that you just gave us, that over the summer, we were involved with Beyonce's initiative for the On the Run tour with her and her husband, Jay-Z, and they were feeding the hungry, not necessarily the homeless, but the hungry here in Houston.
Yeah.
And one of the numbers that was on the card was that 94% of people that are hungry are not homeless. They're just hungry.
Great
and
memory.
And that just startled me. I was really taken aback by that, because normally you do think that it's someone who was homeless or, you know, who doesn't have. But it can be the everyday family that mom or dad is working check to check, just one check away from being put out on the street, or one check away or $5 away from not being able to put a meal on the table. So that is astounding.
It's stunning.
It is.
It really is. We have another figure that we like to throw out of that food insecure population, and that's more than 1 million people in Southeast Texas who we classify as being essentially at risk of hunger. Two-thirds of those families have somebody who's working in the household. So, we have so many stereotypes, like the homeless stereotype,
right,
or people are lazy, shiftless, they're working the system. That's not true. Mm-hmm. It is so not true.
And to add to that, in Texas, we actually have one of the highest food insecurity rates in children. So 1 in 4 in Texas, as Betsy mentioned, 1 in 6 nationally.
Wow.
So we have a special
And that's out of the total population
issue. Yes.
We're talking about. So you just think about a classroom, like every fourth kid in that classroom very possibly could be coming from a home that doesn't have enough to eat.
Yeah. When we were out at the Boys and Girls Club, I overheard some of the kids talking, and one of the kids said, and it just broke my heart, it's like, man, I hope this lasts until in the morning, because I don't even think that I'll be having dinner tonight. And I overheard that, and my heart just crumbled.
Yes. Yeah.
So what can people do more to be more involved, or to help you all out in any way possible? Like, where is there a specific need?
Oh, gosh. Well, Nicole has some very specific needs related to her program.
So I would say that one of the most important things is we'll always take a donation.
Okay.
Money,
absolutely.
Money.
Okay.
Yeah.
$1 equals 3 meals to us, so we can stretch a dollar a long way.
Mm-hmm.
The second most important thing is volunteering with the Houston Food Bank. At the Keegan Kitchen, we need help getting those meals out. Every day we utilize volunteers Monday through Friday in 2 shifts. To do that. So volunteering is key. Anyone that would like to do a food drive for the Houston Food Bank for us, we're really focused on protein. Protein is the most essential nutrients for a child in brain development, muscle growth. They can do a food drive for us to get our canned goods that we need.
And that could be peanut butter as well as tuna or chicken or anything that's
non-perishable.
Ravioli.
Right? Anything that's yummy to your child at home, we would appreciate.
Absolutely. Now, are non-perishable food items, is that what is recommended if people were to come by and, you know, drop off some
food,
food
drives
and stuff?
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Food drives for sure. Yes. Because we, if you put a roast turkey in the food drive bin or you know, a raw turkey, bad things will happen by the time we get that puppy emptied. So, yeah, we need canned foods, food that comes in, cereal boxes, macaroni and cheese mixes, that kind of thing for food drives.
Yeah.
But, and I may sound a little overly enthusiastic about cash, but money really does, is a far superior way to help. And you can donate through our website, houstonfoodbank.org. It's very easy. The reason it's superior is because we can take that $1 and, as Nicole said, turn it into 3 meals. So we can do a lot more with $1 than you can.
Yeah.
Or any individual can. It's because of the generosity of the community, the donors that we work with.
Absolutely. What are some of the agencies that have teamed up with the food bank?
We primarily work directly with school districts as far as with the children's programs, Boys and Girls Club, YMCA, after school programs. Those are our primary agencies, but we work, like Betsy said, with over 600 agencies in the community.
Salvation Army and Catholic Charities, neighborhood centers, some of the big recognizable names. And then tons and tons of churches have food pantries.
Yes.
And I think that's really such a, that's where the rubber is meeting the road.
Yes.
They're in the community, in the neighborhoods, serving their neighbors.
Yeah.
So we love the church food pantries.
Yeah, being active. And speaking of which, September is actually Hunger Action Month. So are there any great things that the Houston Food Bank is doing in honor of September being Hunger Action Month?
Well, I think the easiest thing to do is go to our website, mm-hmm. and it's a simple HoustonFoodBank.org/HungerBites.
Okay.
Hunger Bites. Yes. We use that as our theme every year for Hunger Action Month. Hunger Bites, and then we say bite back. You can bite back against hunger by doing all these things that we've mentioned. And throughout the month, City Hall is going to be lit orange at some point in the month. And the mayor has been very supportive. Also, our county judge has been very supportive of us. And our elected officials in general love the Houston Food Bank because we do good things in their districts. Also in September, we're encouraging people to take the SNAP Challenge.
And now, what is a SNAP Challenge?
SNAP
Bebsy?
Challenge. I know it sounds like you have to be an athlete or something.
Is it the ALS Challenge?
Yeah, no. I don't know. It kind of depends on your point of view. SNAP is Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which is the term we use now for food stamps, right. What we used to call food stamps. And we challenge people to see if they can eat on a SNAP budget for a period of time, usually about a week. Some people can't last it, some can, mm-hmm. because that's only $3.85 a day. Yeah. So if you can eat on $3.85 a day, you have to do it with a lot of thought.
Yeah, because budgeting.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly possible. But that means that it's tougher for you to get in that fresh produce that is so healthy for us all. Mm-hmm. So we challenge people to experience that and then write about it, you know, tweet or post.
Well, let me share my experience with SNAP, because once you mentioned that, I was like, oh, yeah, I had one. So before I moved here to Houston, I was living in Atlanta, Georgia. I was doing radio in Columbus, Georgia. At that station there, I kind of... I had been there for years, had reached the glass ceiling, great numbers. I was the host of a TV show and all of that. And so I said, you know, I'm going to step out on faith and just move on. Because if everybody tells me the same thing about my talents, you know, why don't I believe in myself enough to make that move? And so I did. And it was a bit rough trying to get established in Atlanta. But in that interim, I applied for the food stamps and I got my SNAP card. I believe I had $200 a month. Yeah. And
that's good.
Yeah.
Do you have a family?
I made it stretch.
I'm kind of
No.
So that's great.
Yeah. It was just
that's
myself.
That's a decent allotment.
Yeah.
So you understand the feeling associated with the challenges.
Absolutely. And it was me and my ex-girlfriend or ex-fiance, I should say.
I just want to know more about your personal life here. Let's just stop and talk about that.
Huh? I do get it. And it was very helpful and quite the challenge to, you know that you're budgeted $200 a month. And so what I did first 2 weeks, you know, $100, $75 or, you know, whatever. And and then the last two do it like that. But it helped out a lot until I, you know, finally did get a job, and then, you know, I was off of it, and then when I got that job, then Houston comes calling me, say, hey,
woo-hoo,
come on
it.
Down here.
Well, so you're a person of integrity, you're smart, you have morals, and you had a plan. You had a plan for your life. I mean,
I did.
You're not a stereotype.
No.
So people who need SNAP assistance tend to be people who, they don't want to be on the dole. They don't want to be dependent
for
the rest of their lives.
And I actually, within myself, I felt like I was some sort of loser or, you know, I'm not out here trying hard enough to find employment, even though, and I wanted to stay in, you know, my line of work, which is radio, and the one radio station in Atlanta that I was dealing with, you know, they were just dragging their feet along. And I'm just like, oh, man, come on. But I totally, totally get it. And the need is so paramount. But those that take advantage of it, though, not a good thing.
But there's such a minority. There's such a tiny piece of the whole SNAP puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there are those who will focus on that tiny piece and then, use that to say, oh, we need to cut the SNAP budget.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the reality is that it's really mostly families. You're really affecting kids.
Right.
Yes,
when
for,
you
yeah.
cut the SNAP budget. So it's not about losers.
Yeah.
I agree fully, and it's very important to remember that child that you overheard who said, you know, he was hoping that the meal he received at lunch would last through the night.
Yeah.
So that is always what the Houston Food Bank relies on. We rely on those stories to help us grow bigger and better and do more and reach out to more people so that we can continue to not have to hear those comments from children, because we unfortunately hear them on a daily basis.
Yeah, it was quite heartbreaking.
Thanks for sharing your story.
Oh,
yes, that's
no,
very,
not a problem.
It takes
hey,
a lot of courage, I think, to do
I'm
that.
All about transparency.
Go
you know,
for it.
What you see is what you get, or what you hear is, yeah. is what you get. When it comes to me, the faces of hunger, some people would think, as we talked about earlier, that it would be, you know, just the homeless. Who are some of the people that you all see coming to the food bank that it might be a bit shocking? Like, oh, well, you're such and such, or I thought you were an attorney, or
yeah.
I thought you were a...
Well, I think about think about what Houston just went through, or is still recovering from, this recession,
mm-hmm.
you know, and think of how many people you know. And I have a friend who's a professional person and has always had employment, mm-hmm. and she got socked by long-term unemployment, and not a person that you would think, oh... there's somebody who's on the dole or mm-hmm. needs the help, you know.
Right.
She is a professional person and somebody I knew professionally and personally who needed that kind of assistance. She was too proud to seek it, but she needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think about like your next door neighbor, if they've been out of a job for a long time, or your next door neighbor who just had a catastrophic medical situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, insurance isn't going to cover everything. And if you're ill enough, if something bad enough happens to you, you can wipe it all out. Like you said, the paycheck to paycheck phenomenon.
Oh yeah.
So
it's very real. I call them they're the working poor.
Exactly. And those are the kind of stories that we commonly see. People who just fall on hard times.
Yeah.
They just had a rough patch in their lives.
Yeah. So you can use your voice and you can help and you can volunteer. You can definitely donate. Just log on to HoustonFoodBank.org. September is Hunger Action Month. And so we want to try our best to put an end to this fight against hunger. Betsy, I wanted to ask you, I understand per hour off-air conversation that you used to do radio.
Oh, years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I became a civilian, KG.
How's that working out for you?
Oh, it's been okay.
So what was it when you got out of radio? Was the Houston Food Bank something that was on your mind? Or
Well, nonprofit public relations was on my mind.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just decided that I was tired of getting up at 3:30 in the morning, and mm-hmm. I wanted to go do something that, well, you're doing something that has value that contributes to the community by doing this show or doing the show throughout the week. It's not that I felt I was in a trashy industry by
right.
any means. I loved
right.
what I did, but I just had a heart for being in the nonprofit industry by doing these kind of shows,
yeah.
by talking to people.
Yeah. How about you, Nicole? What was your inspiration to be a part?
For me, as having a background in nutrition, the Houston Food Bank was kind of like an aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
And my skills in food service operations and operating large volume programs just drew me to the nonprofit world. And now that I've been in it, I love it and I can't see myself doing anything else.
She's wonderful. We want her to stay forever. Forever.
Hopefully she will.
Yes.
So I want to know, you know, a lot of people listening, what are some of the misconceptions about nutrition that we have as a people? What are we not getting enough of? What are we probably getting too much of? you know, and so on and so forth.
Can I just put my head down and be ashamed here while she's
talking? Oh, no, please.
So one of the biggest misconceptions is jumping onto the fad diet trains. Mm-hmm. Gluten-free is best for everyone. No calorie, low calorie. And the reality is you just need to eat a variety of food and control your portions. So in moving down to Texas, I realized that everything is bigger in Texas, literally.
Literally.
I mean, going to a restaurant in Texas versus New York is much different in the portion size. And the biggest thing I tell people is eat through the rainbow. Mm-hmm. So make sure you have 3 to 4 colors on your plate. And enjoy what you're eating and stop when you're full.
Yeah.
So it's really
smart. Eat through the rainbow. I like that.
Yes, eat through the rainbow. We teach children to have at least 3 colors of the rainbow on their plates for every meal. And so just basics. Nothing, no ingenious moment. Many fad diets will work for a 30-day period. And you'll slip up and you'll realize where did that 5 pounds come from after you've lost 30. So eat through the rainbow. Very simple.
Okay. I read somewhere that us as human beings, we are very deficient in our fiber intake.
Absolutely. And fiber is one of those things that can be difficult to find, but there's also very easy sources of fiber. So adding a fruit to every meal is a great way to get fiber into your diet. And people forget that an apple and a banana does contain fiber, and that's the best soluble fiber. It doesn't make you feel weird when you're drinking Metamucil or anything like that, but also whole grains. And so definitely sub out some whole grain pasta, brown rice. Minor little things go a long way. You can get 10 grams of fiber for just a half a cup of brown rice. So that's easy.
Look at Betsy's face of you all.
I'm kind of excited about that. I didn't know it had that much.
Yes.
You know, at my age, you're like totally about fiber.
Also, vitamin D. I saw that us as human beings are very vitamin D deficient.
Very surprising with everything that's fortified with vitamin D.
Yeah.
The best source of vitamin D is to spend 2 hours in the sun.
For how long?
2 hours, of course, while the sun is up. So peak time frame.
No, but like in a day or a week?
Yes, per day.
Oh, per day.
Per day. Of course, everything is fortified. Milk is probably your best source of vitamin D. Any calcium containing product nowadays, breads are fortified with vitamin D, but really your body synthesizes vitamin D best when you're in the sun.
Okay. And I heard you mention the gluten-free diet. Now, you know, in the health industry, if you will, there's always these buzzwords that come about, you know, gluten-free and caffeine-free or what are they called?
Antioxidants.
Superfoods.
No GMOs.
All of that. So when the gluten-free thing came about, and a couple of people that I know, they were having some health issues and they didn't know what it is. And come to find out, you know, so what they said that their doctor told them that, you know, that they couldn't have anything with gluten in it. And that is what was causing, you know, whatever was going on with them. Can you explain what gluten is?
What the heck is this?
What is it, Nicole? Nicole, what is it?
Absolutely. So gluten is the soluble part of a grain.
Okay.
And so wheat, barley, things like that have gluten in them. And a big misconception of this gluten-free fad is that no one can tolerate gluten and everyone should remove gluten from your diet. And by the way, it helps you lose weight. Gluten-free diets are really designed and have been around for hundreds of years for people who have celiac disease.
Okay.
And they are not able to break down the gluten within grains.
Okay.
So a lot of what people are doing when they're going on a gluten-free diet, they're removing a large portion of what we call empty calories. So a lot of people, you know, they go to restaurants and they get a bread basket and they eat 4 to 5 rolls out of the breadbasket, and then they force themselves to eat their meals, and the dessert looks so good, so I have to try it. And they think, oh, I've removed gluten from my diet, and that's why I'm losing weight. No, they're really reducing their portion size and the amount of calories that are going into their body. So gluten-free is not for everyone. There are very healthful things within gluten, vitamin E, vitamin A. All of those things are within a gluten-containing product. Whole wheat is a very basic, great product that contains gluten. And so a lot of the misconception is that the gluten-free is what's causing me to lose weight, and that's not necessarily the case. They're really just removing a lot of empty calories out of their diet.
Okay. Thank you so much for clearing that.
It's my pleasure.
For me. I am here with Betsy and Nicole of the Houston Food Bank. September is Hunger Action Month, and you can do your part by donating to the Houston Food Bank by logging on to their website, houstonfoodbank.org, and they need volunteers. They mainly need money.
Thank you.
So do that, you know, and if you can't do money, you know, we'll take some non-perishable food items as well. And so do what you can to stop hunger as we continue to fight hunger here in the city of Houston and all of Southeast Texas. Ladies, thank you so much for coming through.
You are Mr. Smooth. Thank you.
You are listening to Access Houston on 97.9 The Box.
We'll be back with more Access Houston on 97.9 The Box.